You're listening to the Star Wars Report, Episode 19. Maul is back. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the 19th episode. I gotta stop doing this. Yes, I keep guessing the episode names. Well, actually, in many ways, this feels like the first episode. We'll be talking about that in just a second. Of the Star Wars Report. Thank you guys for tuning in. Live. We're doing it live! On Middle Earth Network Radio. I'm your host, Riley. And with me, as always, is my dear sister and co-host, Bethany. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
I am super thrilled to be here tonight. This is kind of, in a weird way, a dream for me, because I'm live on radio. I can tell one day I'll be talking to my children and say, back in the day, your dad was on live radio. We're on Middle Earth Network Radio, and I'm so, so excited to be doing this. We've been talking about it for a while. It's our weekly live show, Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, for those of you listening on the podcast. And for those of you tuning in live on MiamiRadio.us, or perhaps you're in your iPhone listening to us on the TuneIn app, all kinds of ways you can do it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've got a lot of news to talk about in this episode. But before we get into all the news, I'd like to welcome in a special guest host for this episode, Mr. Michael Kaiser. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you for having me. What
now,
an honor.
Let me say, Michael, you're the station director of this place, right?
I am.
So you can fire me if you don't like what I'm doing right now, right?
I don't have it in me.
Okay. Good. I'm glad. I feel a little bit safer now. But yeah, I'm really excited to have you on, Michael. If you want, you can kind of tag along as we talk about the news topics. And if you're like, what are they talking about? Feel free to ask, because I know a lot of people listening live are Tolkien fans or Narnia fans or Harry Potter fans. And so I'm excited to bring kind of the world of that galaxy far, far away to Middle Earth Network Radio.
Well, I'm a fan of all of them, so I'm excited to be here, and can't wait to hear what you have to tell the people.
Yes, definitely. And so if you're listening to us live, what you can also do is, I'm kind of doing this impromptu, but you can actually go over to MiamiRadio.us and find the live events chat and see if you pull that up. You can pull that up, Bethany, and we can try to watch the chat as we go through the episode tonight. But before we get into the news, I'd love to ask you, Michael, what's your story? You mentioned you kind of like all of these various realms of sci-fi and fantasy. What's your Star Wars story specifically? I'd love to hear a little bit about you and how you got introduced to that galaxy far, far away.
Well, being an old man myself, and I'm already in the position that I can tell my kids, back in my day, back in my day, my mom took me must have been some kind of a school break, because we went on a weekday to see Star Wars, and it was a double feature. And it was a movie. The first movie was a flick called Beyond and Back. And it was all stories of people that had near-death experiences and saw the white light. You know, everybody always sees good things when they have a near-death experience. And all the people, following suit, all the people in this movie had great, you know, visions and whatnot, but they all came back. And my mom, you know, I was 7 years old when the film came out, when the first movie came out, just about to turn 8. And my mom fell asleep.
What?
During Beyond and Back, yes. And she was sleeping, snoozing. She was in her 20s. I mean, come on. She was snoozing during Star Wars, and I was absolutely – it was changing my life from the very first scene. Now, to back up just a bit, I was born a Star Trek fan.
Okay.
Because my dear grandmother, who I fortunately I was able to spend a lot of time with my grandparents. They lived close enough to us so that when my parents wanted to go away for a weekend, I went and stayed with my grandma, and I loved her dearly. And I would sit on her lap in her chair and watch Star Trek with her. And to this day, there is only one captain of the SS Enterprise as far as old Michael Kaiser is concerned.
It was here, number one. Oh, not that
so
one.
So anyway.
Not wrong. Make it so.
I was always predisposed to sci-fi and fantasy.
Well, that's neat. And you're not alone. There's a lot of people who do cross over with Star Trek. I think sometimes people really overplay the competition, I guess some might call it, that between fan communities. And I think what Middle Earth Network, what you guys have proven is how much, how many crossover fans there are and how much in common we really do have.
That's what we hope for. Absolutely.
Definitely. Well, before we head on into the news, I'd love to play a message. Conspicuous by his absence, Mr. Mark Herleman, our third wheel and co-host. What Mark is doing is he's doing a big haunted house with his Boy Scouts. So yes, our third wheel, Mark Herleman, he was not able to be with us tonight. So let me go ahead and play his message for you real quick. Here he is.
Hey, Riley, Bethany, everybody, listeners, Star Wars fans of all ages. It's me, Mark. Sorry I can't be there tonight. Pac-23 needs me. I gotta do that Undead Inn. We got some zombie action going on this weekend, and that really just took some precedence. So I hope you're enjoying the live episode. Sorry I can't be there. Real quick rundown of things in the EU that came out this week. We had Riptide. That's out in paperback. In comic side, we have Crimson Empire 3, Empire Lost, Part 1 of 6. Pretty cool action there. It's got Jason, Jaina, and Anakin Solo as kids. It was kind of cool to see them in the book. And I believe that's about it for new and exciting things. There was a lot of information that came out recently. Be sure to check our Twitter feed for most of the retweets of all the upcoming news. And back to you guys.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, really sorry you weren't able to be here tonight, unfortunately. But we miss you, and he'll be joining us again this coming week. All right, with that, let's go ahead and hop into a little bit of news, Bethany. The Phantom Menace, I don't know if you know this, Michael, the Phantom Menace is coming out in 3D next year, a re-release, actually. Have you heard, this is a quick poll question, Michael. Had you actually heard this news? I'm curious.
Yes, I did.
Okay, interesting. So because we know for the Tolkien fans, The Hobbit's coming out next year in 3D as well. Of course, big difference being is that The Hobbit's being filmed in 3D, and Phantom Menace, of course, is being upconverted by a little-known company, Prime Focus. So what they've done is released a trailer, which is awesome. So what I'd love to do is play a little bit of audio for you guys from the Phantom Menace 3D trailer. Actually, this trailer comes courtesy of Bleeding Cool, and we'll see if it's still available, because last time I looked, they had taken it down. You can't see our advertising. Aw, they did. Now, this is like a separate issue. You can't see our advertising. It's a big secret. I think it'd been filmed. It's at theaters right now. I think my cynical nature is thinking that it's a product of wanting people to go see the Three Musketeers who otherwise wouldn't.
Ah,
because that's the movie the trailer was attached to. But they have released a poster. I'd love to kind of discuss it with you, Bethany, a little bit. Is the thoughts on the poster, because it's very, very different from the classic one.
I really like the poster, actually. Darth Maul looks great on it, and it's a very visually appealing poster,
well,
at least to me.
Let me put it this way. Wouldn't you say somebody's missing? A couple people?
Yeah.
Because as you look at this thing, for all of the Phantom Menace fans, Jar Jar is nowhere to be found. Neither is Palpatine, neither is Natalie Portman or Padme. Neither is Qui-Gon Jinn. Now that, my friends, is a travesty. So I really have no idea what's going on there. But it's a much more realistic marketing pose, and I think it really reflects the Lucasfilm take on the way they're trying to promote the movie. Because of course, about that time in the Clone Wars cartoon series, Darth Maul will be returning. Of course, more on that later in the show. So I think that they're really trying to push the most popular aspects of the film, even if they were on only about 15 minutes worth of screen time.
Yeah.
But yeah, they know what's popular. So they have pod racers and Obi-Wan, and of course, a ginormous Darth Maul in center frame.
Hey, Michael, I was wondering, is The Phantom Menace one of your favorite Star Wars movies or one of your least favorite?
That's, you know, that's hard for me to answer, to be honest with you, because I am of the mind that that it's George Lucas's story and he can do with it whatever he wants, and I either decide to support it or not. And being a completist, I love them all. I would say, as far as action goes, you know, it would rank lower on the scale, but as part of the whole, I take the whole series as a unit. So I'm a weirdo. Yeah.
Well, no, you're not. Actually, you're remarkably reasonable, which is, well, so maybe you are a weirdo. But yeah, it's Phantom Menace. I'm a longtime defender of it. It's the first Star Wars film I saw, but we won't get into that right now. We have beat that Sith Lord to death. But yeah, the Phantom Menace is coming out, and of course the poster is an interesting marketing ploy. Let's go ahead and move on into the next topic, which is actually our good friend and contributor to our website, Pete Morrison. He was talking about the Old Republic. Of course, the Old Republic's coming out this December, just in time for Christmas, by the way. And he was actually voicing his concerns for it. So, Bethany, why don't you take that away?
Mm-hmm. Well, to sum up what Pete said was simply he doesn't really think he has the time or the money to spend playing a game like this. And frankly, it caught my eyes because people who play these games really seem to have a lot of the time and the money that I don't have. I really like the way the Old Republic looks, but I'm just, you know, sad that I don't have the time or money to pay a monthly fee on a video game like this.
You were deceived.
Yep. Actually, we did cover this with Michael earlier, so it was kind of nice to talk about it there. But
yeah, it's unfortunate because the Old Republic, just sort of like LOTRO, is something that I'm interested in but do not have time for. So I will be constantly watching the cutscenes as they come to YouTube, etc. So that's going to be an interesting take. Now, Michael, what have you heard about the Old Republic? I'm just curious, for as a Tolkien fan, are you familiar with it? Familiar with what they're doing with it so far?
No, the only thing that I'm... Whoops, I'm coming back on myself. Hold on.
Okay.
The only thing that I've heard is that it takes place in a galaxy long, 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 long ago. And that is very intriguing to me, that it is... How many thousands of years before the timeline that we are accustomed to?
Yeah, it's set... Yeah, thousands of years before the movie. So that does make a really interesting dynamic because it's a lot of characters that have no direct ties to the films, which is good and bad. There's not going to be any Solos or Skywalkers running around, and really Star Wars is the Skywalker story, so it feels a little bit odd because it's definitely the Star Wars universe, but to me it doesn't really feel like the Star Wars story. I'm not sure. Do you think that that kind of applies to these MMOs? To as a LOTRO player, Michael, do you think that you can kind of capture the world of Tolkien in LOTRO, but does it capture like the story feeling?
That's a hard one to answer. I'd have to ask my kids about that. They spend more time in game than I do. I just know that I enjoy being in the world and venturing around. I don't have much time to dedicate to playing it, so every once in a while I'll get an hour or two in. But again, my age, I come from the days of, I still remember Pong, okay? And the Atari systems and video games never appealed to me because they weren't as big as my imagination.
Yeah.
And then when I got in game in LOTRO and saw, wait a second, I can basically go wherever I want. Okay, that's what appeals to me. And of course, being able to walk around in a virtual Middle Earth as a hobbit is very intriguing and appealing. But quite frankly, we waited until it went free to play.
Yeah. And I think that's the big difference and the big thing that the Old Republic has running against it is the sheer amount of money they've spent on it. It's absurd. It's millions, and it's in the millions and millions of dollars range. And so, of course, they're not free to play right now. It's going to be charging.
Yeah, and the millions and billions, that's not an exaggeration in this case.
Yeah, I'm just curious exactly what their price points are, because they have a big Ultimate Edition that looks rather interesting as far as the pricing goes. If you pre-order it now, which of course is the splash page. If you go to it, there we go. Redeem your pre-order code. Here we go. So yeah, they have the collector's edition, which includes a Gentle Giant figure and the game discs and the game soundtrack and, let's see, a bunch of cool in-game content. But, for instance, that... Let me click on the pre-order and see how it... it wants me to pick a website. All right. Pre-ordering from Amazon. This is like a live test. They're not even actually selling them. They're selling them secondhand, like people who bought the pre-order and are now reselling the pre-order, which tells you how... what the demand is for this game. $410 for the collector's edition.
Wow.
It ain't cheap.
And then you have the monthly fee.
Yeah, and of course you have the standard edition, which, let's see, if you for instance just buy the standard edition from Walmart, it's much more affordable, $60. But of course that $60 is not even the monthly fee. The monthly fees, I'm trying to recall, it's a good $10 a month or so. So yeah, it's not for someone who's not willing to pay quite a bit of money for it. So yeah, that's unfortunate. But
it's rough in this economy.
Yeah, yeah. I think it would have been perfect 2 years ago, but in the climate today, where we've had LOTRO go free to play, DC Universe, the MMO, went free to play recently. I really think that's the future. And really, doesn't LOTRO make more money now than it used to when it was?
That's what
charging?
They reported. They reported an increase of like four times the amount. Now, is that because it had been out so long that people had left and their initial take was dwindling away, or is it that they're making four times the amount that they were making from day one? I don't know, but in the day and age that we live now, freemium is the model that works.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of what we're doing with podcast, actually. It's kind of funny how that works. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the game, and there is no doubt it's going to make a ridiculous amount of money this Christmas season. It comes out the 20th, so only a few days before Christmas, but it is the perfect Christmas present for the hardcore Star Wars fan. I will not be purchasing it, but I will definitely watch its career with great interest.
Well, they would be smart to give you you folks a key into the game so that you can promote it on your show.
That's a really good idea.
Yes, let's make that happen.
BioWare?
And I'll join you.
Are you listening, BioWare? Yeah, definitely. Well, and before we go ahead and jump into our next story, let's talk about our sponsor. We actually do have a sponsor. This little show of ours, it actually has a sponsor. I can't believe it. ToyHut.com. Toy Hut with two T's. That's my best Jabba impression. But especially for the Lord of the Rings audience, you guys should definitely check it out. They have a comprehensive list of all kinds of Star Wars collectibles. And yeah, it's a very, very excellent selection. So what I've done, instead of we've talked about them, they've been sponsoring the past episodes, they've renewed through and beyond Christmas, so it's awesome. They're showing some faith in our show. What you guys can do is go to toyhutwith2t's.com and pick out your favorite Star Wars action figure. This week, Bethany's doing a pick of the week. So Bethany, what did you find on toyhut.com this week?
Well, I found this interesting Empire Strikes Back Bespin Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm. With blonde hair. I love how they specify.
Yeah, with blonde hair.
As opposed to the black-haired Luke Skywalker, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's vintage from 1980, and they mm-hmm. have it for $12, which seems like a really great price for a toy from that time. I am not a collector, but that is a pretty cool toy.
Yes. So, yeah, they have all kinds of both vintage all the way to modern toys. So as you're thinking about doing some Christmas shopping, head over to ToyHut.com. And when you check out, just send them a little note and say, hey, heard about you guys on the Star Wars Report, and hey, how about now you heard about them on Middle Earth Network Radio, which is pretty awesome. So thank them for their support. Let's go ahead and jump into the next story. We also have Sam Witwer to return in the Clone Wars based on an interview done, let's see, looking at the Force.net article, based on an interview done by the Star Wars Report. I've heard of those guys.
Nice.
Somewhere, yeah. We got some link love. That's pretty awesome. Force.net is definitely the big dogs when it comes to the fan site, so it's nice that they link to our interview. We actually talked to Sam back in September at Dragon Con, But let's see. Basically, what the deal is, Sam Witwer, of course, the actor who played Starkiller in the Force Unleashed games, and has also been known to play in the modern sci-fi show Being Human, for all you vampire fans. He doesn't sparkle. Although he actually does if you listen to him in the interview. It's a separate story. But yeah, he's evidently returning to the Clone Wars. He actually, in this interview, it's funny how this happens, Michael. It took a few weeks for people to actually pick up on this. And then someone, I believe sent a letter into the Force.net. And then they linked to our interview when they found our interview. And so then everybody heard about it, but of course it was several weeks after we had done it. So we've known this for a couple weeks, but basically it confirms that he is returning to do to the Clone Wars to do voiceover.
Mm-hmm. He will be almost certainly voicing the character of Darth Maul. That is still
never heard of him. No,
that's still speculation. Who? But Darth Maul has been announced as a voice, and just from what Sam said in our interview, really sounds like it'll fit the bill of Darth Maul. So
yeah,
we're pretty excited about this. And I have no idea how Maul will actually live. I mean, if you've seen The Phantom Menace, yeah, coming back from getting cut in half.
Nothing. No. No, that's it. He could live. It's
he's a Sith Lord.
Just a flesh wound.
A really good back to tank. We'll put it that way. Maybe some good prosthetics. Now there is a Infinities comic, comic that was done, an alternate universe Star Wars comic, which actually talked about what if Darth Maul had survived, and it, of course, gave him these monstrous robotic legs. And so some people are speculating that they might actually use that in the universe in the Clone Wars cartoon. I'm really enjoying the Clone Wars right now, although this season's had a little bit of a slow start in some ways. But I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think he is voicing Darth Maul. Basically, he said in our interview, and this is a direct quote, quote, "It's an amazing character." I'll put it this way. I was driving to a buddy's house, and Dave Filoni, the director of the Clone Wars, he calls me up, gets me on the phone, and he says, "Listen, so we want you to come back and work, and we need you to play blank." And he tells me the character's name, and I almost had a car accident. He said, "Can you do it?" And I'm like, "Yes." And then I worried about later whether or not I could actually do it. But yeah, I was like, yes, yes, I will totally do that. No, I added the totally. Sam Witwer is a really nice guy and really a talented actor. It's kind of a shame because you see the popular mainstream actors, and then there are some lesser known ones in television nowadays that you can still tell their acting abilities are still way more high caliber than your mainstream actors. That's just my opinion. Kind of a separate topic, but do you watch the Clone Wars, Michael?
No. Well, we don't have TV over here, and so I haven't seen Clone Wars since the original seasons. How long ago was that? 6-7 years ago.
Ah, okay, yeah, like the micro series, the 2D ones.
Yes, yes, and then the movie, of course.
Mm-hmm. But. It's definitely come a long way since then. It's the same premise and general plot line, but it has matured a lot. I think it's interesting because it's gotten so much better in recent seasons that it's really almost a shame when they have episodes that were like the ones they had at the very beginning. So everyone will be upset if they have an average episode. But really, I do enjoy all of the episodes they've had so far this season. But it could be better. It could have Darth Maul. Of course, he's coming up.
Yes, the visual quality of the Clone Wars has gotten so much better over the years. It's hard to believe it's been running for years now, really.
Yeah, fourth season. It's ridiculous. It feels like it just happened maybe a year ago. But yeah, and it's really fun to actually have a story that came of a story that we did. So that's fun too. Let's see, story comes from clubjade.net. Now this is a more obscure one. This is where I'm kind of using you, Michael, as the test case. Have you heard of another Star Wars series besides the Clone Wars and besides the long rumored live action series? I'm just curious. Third one.
No.
There is another. there's this long rumored series that this happened last year actually
not
let's talk
rumored.
About this
George Lucas yeah. did announce it at Celebration 5.
He did, and they let's rewind the tape for those of you listening. Back the year was 2010. And there were all these long rumors of Seth Green, creator of Robot Chicken, and of course, actor in Buffy the Vampire Slayer and a number of other franchises. Big geek, cool guy. There's rumors that he was actually going to start working on an official Lucasfilm project. This came from a very briefly leaked, I guess is what you would call it, a tidbit of news that George Lucas did at a screening for the 30th anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back back in May of last year. And he said, you know, he's, we're working on Clone Wars and the live-action series, and there's this other animated series. Yeah. And so, and nobody followed up on the question at the time. So everyone who listened to the audio of that little Q&A session he was doing was like, "What? Another Star Wars series? I mean, this is kind of worth news for us Star Wars fans."
Yeah, and no follow up questions.
No, nothing. But of course, everyone hung on it, and we didn't hear anything for months. And then finally, you know, Seth Green was getting asked questions right and left. He's, "Are you working on the series? What is it? What kind of series is it?" And George Lucas, finally, someone actually caught up with him and said, "So is there a third series?" And he's like, and he kind of dodged the question for a second and then said, kind of like, "If there was," I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, "If there was a series, it would be geared more towards younger children. It wouldn't be as violent, and it wouldn't be as you know, Clone Wars ish as the current series." And so,
Star Wars babies.
Yeah. Well, no.
Oh, okay. Good.
Well, actually, I could kind of see that. That would be. I want to see that show, Star Wars Muppets. I know the Muppets have done Star Wars stuff before.
Yes.
So yeah. Then finally, StarWars.com came out with an official press release because there was so much hullabaloo going on at the time. And so they came out with their press release that was basically just a paragraph confirming that they were working in the very early pre-production stages of a comedic animated television show that was geared towards younger audiences, but that would also have some humor for the adults as well, so that the parents could be in on the joke. And so that was it. And then we finally got an official word from George Lucas himself, live on stage at Celebration 5. In Orlando last August. So over a year ago, all this was happening, and nobody's heard anything. Everybody's been focusing on the Clone Wars as far as news goes, a little bit on the live-action series, and no one's really talked about this. So that being the story behind what's going on, Howard Rothman, who is the director of licensing, I believe, at Lucasfilm, he says that we'll be seeing the Seth Green comedy project, which may be named Star Wars Detours. That's what people are thinking. We'll see it in the next 2 years. A little bit of a wait. It's like The Hobbit. Only are they filming this in New Zealand? I don't know what's taking that long, but but evidently. This is a press release that was actually found originally by JediNews.co.uk. Basically, Rothman said that Lucas has always found Star Wars parodies extremely funny, citing a brutally frank French and Saunders parody as an example. I will talk about that in a second. And he's thrilled to be exploring opportunities in a new area of the brand. And, of course, Seth Green, as a comedian, is known for his Robot Chicken parodies of Star Wars. Are you familiar with the Robot Chicken parodies by any chance, Michael?
I confess that I am not.
Okay. Well, we'll.
Have I missed out?
I want to pull up a clip, but I'm not sure I can safely do that live on air. They're not for the kids. We'll put it that way. But some of them are, and some of them aren't. It's kind of a smattering. But they are hilarious. Hilarious. And so, basically, what we'll be seeing in the next year. And so this press release was at a. Let's see. This was at a European licensing conference, so not exactly a super in-depth. I guess not a super obvious way to announce it, but I'm glad Jedi News dug up that little nugget of information. But yeah. If you watch the French and Saunders spoof, I'm very tempted to play a bit here. It's from the 1999. Here it is. 1999 on the BBC, they did a parody of The Phantom Menace. The Phantom Millennium. And I think this is like in the early days of talk shows. Here we go. course, they have robes all the way over their face.
I am the Viceroy's druid at your service. We are greatly honored by your visit, ambassadors. I have a bad feeling about this, Mark.
So two very large British female comedians are dressed as Jedi. This is Angel. This is from 1999 when The Phantom Menace was coming out. But evidently George has a sense of humor.
You know what I've noticed about these press releases, though, like an ongoing theme?
What's that?
These people don't read up on their stuff. I mean, we come in, we read what's in the press releases, and there are no follow-up questions. No one seems to know what to ask.
Well, it's not fans doing it. It's a licensing conference. And so I'm sure it's saying, so when will the toys based on the Seth Green show be coming out?
Yeah, well, even the original announcements, even George Lucas... Yeah.
But George Lucas doesn't make public appearances very often. But when he does, it's always exciting because he answers to no one. He can say what he wants. So the likelihood of us getting information probably comes from him. Him and his producer, Rick Valorum. He's not Valorum, but it's close. McCallum. Thank you. Chancellor McCallum will now speak before the Galactic Senate. No. That's very interesting. So let me ask you, Michael, would you be more interested in something geared a little bit towards the younger children, for the kids, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm interested in anything Star Wars, and we have little kids, and we have another little kid on the way. That would be nice.
Yeah, I could definitely see it. Do you want to see a children's series based on Beyond and Back from 1978?
me? And for the kids? No, but for me personally, yes.
you would watch that, wouldn't you? Yes.
Absolutely.
That, my friends, is called a callback.
Still, I would like to see the live-action series. I would love to see the live-action series.
Yes, not
that's
enough
what I
news.
Want to see.
Yeah, and the live-action series needs... like a new direction. It needs some really heavy stuff. We don't have any news on it this particular week, but we will be following it closely as it continues. The live action series, how long has it been?
It's
what, 2007 when it was announced?
Celebration 4.
Yeah, 2007. That's a long wait. We'll wait patiently. Maybe it'll be like the Hobbit production. I think you guys still have to wait longer, but we're catching up in terms of having to wait for this live action series.
Yeah, but is it an issue of licensing, or is it an issue of getting off one's duff and making it happen?
Both. It's an issue of finances, actually, oddly enough. And that's what so many people get up in arms about. There's like, wait, you mean that George Lucas, the bajillionaire, doesn't have enough money to make a live-action series? That's terrible. And unless George Lucas wanted to personally finance the series... It's not going to happen. And he has personally financed almost every other Star Wars film. So I can see the expectation on one hand, but on the other hand, it's extremely rare for someone to personally finance something that expensive. But a lot of people think that this that the 3D re-releases of the films, that's part of the plan to fund something like this, so that Lucasfilm will have the money to move forward. Because we know that they have 50 episodes worth of scripts that they've completed for this project. So we know that. We know they're sitting on the shelf ready to go, and that they have a budget lined out, which means they've gone as far as planning where they'd shoot, how they'd shoot, and the casting process. And they just haven't had someone who's willing to pay the money for the budget for a series like that. It kind of reminds me, for other fantasy fans, I'm not familiar with the series, but I was reading an article about it. The Dark Tower series, for those, yeah, I guess it's irrelevant as to whether you know about it or not, but it's basically just a fantasy series of novels that they wanted to adapt. And they wanted to do a really creative thing and have a big budget studio film and have two seasons worth of television that accompany it. This would be the first time something like this was done, where you have a prequel season leading up to the film, then you have the film, and then you have a television series that's set after the film. And it's a way to take a massive story like Dark Tower and translate it into truly doing the original material justice. It'd be kind of interesting to see something like that for the Silmarillion. like pick the most epic chapter and actually make a film and tie it into some of the others, and then maybe do, say, an HBO series based on each of the chapters of The Silmarillion. I could see something like that. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not HBO.
Well, yeah, you get the idea. Just like a big budget type of deal. And that's the kind of thing, they shut it down. The studio ended up first greenlit it, and then the studio backed out saying it was too much money. So they had to completely redo the creators were so passionate about getting this Dark Tower project online that they slashed the budget, completely redid the shooting schedule and the locations and everything to get it in budget so that they could actually make the series. And then they went back to the studio saying, hey, we've slashed the budget by a third. Will you do it now? And they accepted. And so that's really what needs to happen at Lucasfilm for this live action series to move forward, because they have the scripts. They even have a budget lined up. So it's basically waiting for something has to change. There has to be some change of dynamic for it to get off the ground. And I still don't doubt that it will.
Michael, what would you want to see in a live action series, Star Wars?
Oh goodness. That's really hard. I want to see the final three movies. I want to see Luke achieving his potential. I mean, full. I want to see Luke Skywalker as the Jedi that he was meant to be. And going off what series is it Timothy Zahn?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I want to see.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, we got to meet Timothy Zahn at Fan Days. Really nice guy. But yeah, I think you're definitely not alone.
I would really like to see that too, and more exploration of the Star Wars universe too. That would be pretty neat.
There's a lot more to see on screen. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the Star Wars universe has been explored to death in the written form and in comics. There are a bajillion to choose from. But on screen, we have the Clone Wars series, but it's very much stayed within a certain formula of how what it's exploring and how it's doing. It is very much we do get to explore the galaxy, but in 22-minute episodes, you really can't go that in-depth with a culture like you could in the Star Wars films, especially in the prequels where you actually get like 20 or 30 minutes just focused on one location. So that you get to learn about the lava planet Mustafar, and its economy is based on mining, and you learn these things about the planet and its culture and society that you just can't do in a series. So a live-action series at a one-hour format, I think, would be a perfect way to do it.
I must confess that I would also I really want two live-action series, because I would now I'm thinking this whole show, I'm thinking about the Old Republic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Because now that's really on my mind, and I would love to see in the distant past. I'd like to see the beginning of the Jedi Order.
I know, and that, and you're not the only one. Again, this is the Old Republic has gotten so much attention based on these cinematic trailers that they've released. It's insane, and I have publicly said on this show multiple times how much this needs to be. A series, even if it was animated, like the trailers. I'm thinking of like the dialogue here of the one Republic trooper, and you get to see
for
Alderaan.
Centuries, Alderaan stood as a beacon of hope in the Republic, but the Empire came, and with one savage strike. Brought Alderaan to her knees.
Yeah, definitely. That's just to see something like that. The tales of the old Jedi. That would be a lot of fun too. Now, if you had to choose, if you had to make that choice, would you rather see a live action series that is the helm is definitely done by George Lucas, because we know he wrote the scripts that are sitting on the shelves? Do you want to see those stories, or do you think you would rather see on screen what's going on in the Old Republic game?
I would rather see the completion of George Lucas's vision. I want to see his story completed.
Yes. Yeah. And we know their story there. But George follows, I like to call him George. George likes. Huh? George does follow what he wants to do, and in a good way and bad way. Any creative person, especially of the caliber of someone like Peter Jackson or George Lucas, you really have to pursue what you desire to pursue. And obviously, he had the passion to sit down and write 50 episodes worth of scripts. And it wasn't just him; he had writers, of course. But the stories were from his brain, his brainchild. Something like that is way more important. But I think his attention has been redirected so much towards the Clone Wars and now this evident Seth Green kind of parody show. I don't see the live action series happening in the next 2 years. Although beyond that, I think it will be happening. I don't think the Clone Wars is going to go much more than 5 or 6 seasons. We know they're working on season 6 in terms of writing. So they haven't officially announced that, but people we've talked to, it's a big secret. Don't tell anybody.
Something that I really like about George Lucas is that he seems always willing, no matter what other people think or say, to follow and pursue what he likes doing. You know, he's writing the live action series himself. 50 episodes sounds like something he enjoys.
Yeah.
Then he starts really liking the Clone Wars, gets more involved in it. And so he switches over to that for a while. So it might be a wee bit frustrating to us consumers, but
well, he's like an 8-year-old kid, and in a good way and bad way. It's what he's interested in at the time. Before we continue, though, I would like to say to everyone tuning in live, you're listening to the Star Wars Report live on Middle Earth Network Radio, and we're really thrilled to be here in the inaugural episode. But let's go ahead and jump into a little bit of fan feedback. We actually have an email this week from. Let's see, I believe it's Andrew. Let's see, he says, hello, Riley, Bethany, and Mark. Well, in this case, Michael, but that's okay. He says, I wanted to weigh in on the issue of Darth Vader's no line in the Blu-ray of Return of the Jedi. Now, Michael, have you heard of the no gate?
Of course I have.
You'd heard of it. Okay, I thought you would have. He said, a lot of fans have said that the addition of Vader's... No, I won't. Don't worry, I won't do the no every time. Let's see. Of the no, their opinions have ranged from it simply being out of character for Vader to it ruining the scene to it ruining the entire film. I couldn't disagree more.
Amen, brother.
There he goes. A lot of people forget that Mr. Lucas made Star Wars as a modern homage. Homage? I hope I said that right. I said it twice so that I'm right one way. To the old 1930s serial sci-fi films like Flash Gordon. One particular trait of these films is extreme melodrama. Characters are over the top, heroes are good, and patriotic Boy Scouts to an unreasonable degree, and never succumb to temptation. Villains are evil incarnate. People talk in ways that normal persons talk. That no normal person talks. Sorry about that. Harrison Ford is reported to having told Mr. Lucas that you can write this stuff, but you can't say it. That's cleaned up a little bit for air, by the way. Harrison Ford can be a little bit stronger than that. He says, a good example of this genre that many sci-fi modern sci-fi fans might recognize is the holodeck program from several Star Trek Voyager episodes called Captain Proton. I've provided a link to YouTube as a sample. Interesting. He says, I feel the no is consistent with the genre of old-timey sci-fi film. Vader's expressing his rage in Episode 3 and his defiance in Episode 6 in as melodramatic a manner as possible. Just in the same way that Obi-Wan melodramatically expresses his sorrow at the loss of Qui-Gon in Episode 1, and Luke melodramatically expresses his sadness and surprise at the loss of Obi-Wan in the end of Episode 4. His sadness and confusion at learning Vader is his father in Episode 5, and his sadness and confusion. So, yeah, melodrama is fun. It shows that these characters do feel, and they feel in ways that no normal human feels things. So, he's basically what Andrew's saying is that it's an exaggeration, a form that's meant intentionally in a way of entertainment. But I'll wrap up his email. He says, let's face it, with a few exceptions like Liam Neeson, Alec Guinness, and Harrison Ford, these are not very good actors. Over-the-top melodrama is common in sci-fi in general, especially when the actors aren't that skilled. I'm thinking of the 1960s Star Trek here. Ooh.
Hey,
watch out. So in conclusion, I like all the nooms, including the newest one in Return of the Jedi. I think they're indicators of old-school dramatic style, and I think that's really fun. Keep up the great work, Andrew. Andrew's, of course, columnist for EUCantina.net, and so thank you so much, Andrew, for weighing in. Nougate. Now that we've got you on the show, Michael, I've never been able to talk to you about it. What were your opinions when you heard of the travesty? The alterations that ruined the whole movie.
Goodness. I don't want to die. It's George Lucas's story, okay? He, unfortunately, even though we have the perception, especially in Western culture, that when somebody creates something and we like it, then all of a sudden it becomes ours. It's not ours.
No, really?
It's not ours. The man is still alive. He still has all the technology at his disposal, and he decided that, in hindsight, this is the way that it should have been. And you know, I think also I'm kind of rebelling as well. I went on Amazon the other day because I was looking. Okay, what do I want? Do I want the two separate sets of the Blu-rays, or do I want the one big set? I couldn't figure out. You know, and I had to go researching. No, I do want the full set, and if I want all of the special features, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And I broke one of my cardinal rules, and I read through reviews. By a bunch of 12-year-old kids that just say,
sorry, I had to do.
Yes.
Sorry, continue.
That's what I did when I was reading through these reviews.
Yeah.
Have you seen the no.com? It's a website with just a blue button in the middle. When you press the blue button,
I should have been... Exactly. That's what you get.
Good.
Oh, I love this thing.
So, yeah. We were having a lot of fun with that a couple episodes ago. Yeah. Nougate. I completely agree with you, Michael. And I do think people do take ownership. And it's just a sign of why so many... It's a sign of how Star Wars has touched so many people and how dear it is to so many people in its original form.
That's one thing. But to turn around and I see comment after comment, George Lucas is an idiot. What is that all about? Boy, there's a good argument right there.
When all else fails, call your opponent stupid and stomp out of the room.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Virtually stomp off of Facebook or Twitter or Amazon reviews. So
well, and you know, that's the double knife of the internet. You know, it's great. We have the opportunity. Here we are. We're broadcasting live radio. We didn't have to get permission from anybody to do it. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that brings this inaugural episode, or at least inaugural live episode, of the Star Wars Report to a close. Michael, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun to talk to you this hour.
Oh, well, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's definitely been our pleasure as well. It's been a great time. And I'll tell you what, we missed our third wheel, Mark. I'm sorry you weren't able to be with us, Mr. Hurleman. He'll be back next week. He got some kind of big time newspaper interview for his Boy Scout Halloween event that he's doing. So, for those of you in the Grants Pass, Oregon area, right on the border of California, look him up. What is it? Halloween Hotel of
it's
Horror?
The Undead Inn.
Undead something. Yes. This is why.
Oh goodness.
This is the disadvantage of doing it live. That's okay. Mark is awesome, and what he does with the Boy Scouts, with his son and his daughter, it's amazing to see how he, as a fan, views things as a dad. And that's one thing I love about listening to you. Actually, right before we started the show, Michael, I was listening to Middle Earth Minutes, which you do with your son, talking about all the latest and greatest in Hobbit movie news, and you guys do some discussions on that show. And so I really love the perspectives, especially of parents on the show. So thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Excellent. And so if you guys want to contact us, what you can do is go to StarWarsReport.com. It's really hard to remember URL, I know. But just remember three words, Star Wars Report, title of the show, and then go to the .com afterwards. And there you're going to find all the ways to contact us, including our email, like Andrew did, StarWarsReport@gmail.com, as well as, let's see, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Both just search for Star Wars Report, you'll find us. And you know what we'd love? Love to have a couple of iTunes reviews. That would be nice to help some more people discover us. Although, I'll tell you what, hopefully a lot of you are discovering us on Middle Earth Network Radio, and I'd like to publicly thank you, Michael, for having us on live. This is going to be awesome. So for you guys tuning in live and you guys listening on the podcast, every Thursday night, 8 p.m., well, maybe not Christmas or Thanksgiving. We might have to take those off. But otherwise, every Thursday night live is the Star Wars Report. So a lot of fun. Lots of fun. Last way you can contact us is I'd love we could get some voice feedback. You can attach that as a MP3, do a little voice memo from your iPhone or iPod, or you can just record an MP3 and email it to us. That's a fun way to do it. And we may just have to get a voicemail line. We may have to actually take some live calls at some point.
Yeah.
I need to stop brainstorming on air. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Look for us next time. We'll be back next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern on Middle Earth Network Radio. You can also head over to mymeradio.us. You guys have some awesome content that's not Star Wars for you guys listening on the podcast. So that's great stuff, too. That's going to do it. We're out of here. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. See you next time, guys.